Welcome to the Paleo View. I'm Stacey Toth of PaleoParents.com. You might know me as one of the co-authors to Eat Like a Dinosaur, Beyond Bacon, or the upcoming Real Life Paleo books. But what you'll find out on this show is that I really like to talk about tangents and soapboxes, and definitely about lifting heavy things.
And I'm Dr. Sarah Ballantyne of ThePaleoMom.com. I'm the author of two books, The Paleo Approach and the upcoming companion guide, The Paleo Approach Cookbook. I'm a huge nutrient density geek, and I just can't help talking about science.
News and Views, where Sarah and I catch up, and you get to listen to our gossip. So, Sarah, it's been kind of a busy weekend.
It has been so busy. I can't believe I think I've done about 3 months worth of stuff in the last 3 days of just, like, it's been nonstop. It's been awesome.
It's been crazy. It's also going to continue to be crazy because we were both here on Sunday when we normally record a podcast. And I'm actually going to be out of town vacationing with the boys tomorrow when would be our backup day for a podcast. So, we thought that it might be fun to just do a little ad hoc podcast with people as we were hanging out with them and talk about or record some of the interesting conversations that we've had and some of the interesting things about people and share that with you. So, fair warning, this podcast sound quality is not normal. It's not recorded in its usual state, its usual device, or any of the equipment that we normally use.
There's a lot more background random noises, and we don't know what they all are, and we apologize.
But hopefully the podcast will be fun nonetheless.
Should we actually tell people where we are? Because I don't think we did that yet.
Where are we?
We are in Austin, Texas for Paleo FX, which is, if any of our listeners aren't familiar with it, it's a really sort of big paleo practical application conference every year. And people have really traveled. Actually, some people have traveled really far to be here and listen to our talks and see cooking demos. And it's been really amazing. Like, when you start talking with people and they tell you that how far they drove or where they flew from, like, it's a really neat community.
Yeah, and definitely what's been interesting for me is that this is Sarah's first year, but this is my third year, I think. It's been going 3 years, right?
Yeah.
So this is my third year, and each one is, like, doubled in size from the one before. So it's literally, like, 4 times bigger than the very first one that ever happened. There have been so many vendors and so many people, and before it seemed there's a very strong paleo local Austin scene, which was really cool the first year, but now it's branched out, and almost everyone that I've talked to, I'm like, oh, where are you from? And it's, like, even international, not just, you know, within the States. So it's pretty cool, and meeting all the different vendors has been crazy, too. Like, I don't even know half the vendors that are here at PaleoFX.
I know, but clearly it's time to know them because there's some, like, really cool stuff here. Yeah. What was the coolest thing that you, coolest vendor person you talked to?
So I loved getting to meet some of the vendors that we already love and talk about on the podcast. Some of my favorites are Tassimes, Epic Bar, Eating Evolved, Primal Life Organics, and I got to meet the people of Whole Me, which we helped kind of their Kickstarter to become a bigger company, which is awesome. One of my new favorite vendors is the Live Soda people, which is totally like a special treat for our family, but they make a kombucha and then they add extracts and stevia to it to make it taste legitimately like soda. And it was crazy. Like, I mean, honestly, tasted like root beer. I couldn't believe it. So that was interesting. And I know Bill and Haley from Primal Palette have been having that stuff in Pittsburgh. So it was cool to, like, see that. There was one other vendor I was thinking of.
XO.
Oh, yes, XO. Oh, my gosh, the cricket people. So the cricket flower bars are crazy. Like, I know I heard, so, you know, we talked about Sarah's cricket flower. And honestly, I think about it like sardines. I'm like, oh, that crazy thing Sarah's doing. And I roll my eyes and I'm like, oh, that's disgusting. But the cricket bar people were there. This isn't just the powder. They will sell the powder, but this was, they make bars. And so they had the three flavors. I think it was ginger, cashew, coconut, which is not coconut. It's like cacao nut. And then they had a peanut butter and jelly, which isn't paleo because it has real peanuts in it. But oh my gosh, that was the best flavor in my opinion. But I was surprised at how delicious it was. Like, I think they're actually better than Lara bars. I like them, and I'm excited to have them as an option for myself during long workouts, because they have protein and also some carbs, and it'll work really well for
me. I believe I said crickets are yummy.
Yeah, but you're kind of a liar sometimes. Like,
or maybe I just have a different
lamb kidney and sardines. You also say those are yummy, and they're not, so...
I really do think they're yummy. I'm not lying when I say they're yummy.
It's so weird to do this in the same room with you. It's making me uncomfortable.
I get to actually, like, look at you, make faces.
Yeah, it's awkward. I have to look away.
She's actually not making eye contact with me. I would just have people know she's, like, purposely not looking at me.
I'm like...
Because she just can't handle looking at a moving face.
No, well, usually I'm surfing the internet while we're talking, so...
I know you're Instagramming sometimes when we're talking.
Yeah, usually. I'm doing something. Answering emails. So, do you have favorites?
Kind of like all of those people.
All those people?
I got introduced to Chaffee here.
Oh, you didn't do Chaffee before?
No.
I forgot about Chaffee.
We'd had a thing where they were going to send me some to try, and then it never arrived, and then I told them it never arrived, and then they sent me some more to try, and then it never arrived. So, I got to have that conversation with them, like, are you going to send me some? So, they were very excited to actually connect, and... it was really neat because they literally have different roasts. It's like they take a cocoa bean, like chocolate, and instead of processing it into chocolate, and yes, I just said process, they roast it and then grind it and brew it like coffee, but it's starting with a chocolate bean instead of a coffee bean. And it's kind of like hot cocoa meets tea. It's a really
It's pretty nutty, though. Like, to me, it was surprisingly nutty.
Well, what I liked was that they had...
Beans from different
areas of the world, and they had really distinctive flavors. Yeah. And they literally were like, well, we've got this one from the Dominican. Like, they were building up to the more distinct flavors. We've got the last ones from the Dominican. And I said, well, every time I buy chocolate, I look for Dominican Republic chocolate because that's my favorite. I don't really like the really fruity chocolates. And because chocolate doesn't work that well for me, I'm really picky.
The Volta? Is that
the one
that
was the Volta.
Yeah,
and I was like...
The Volta Extra Dark is a new flavor for them, and that was definitely my favorite,
and
too.
I was like, I need this. Like, this is my...
Yeah.
Please give me some.
That's actually what I drink at night to avoid sweets. I think I've mentioned that on the show before, so...
So I'm, like, super excited because I have been able to handle more chocolate lately.
Yeah.
So, as long as I, like most things, don't let it slide into too much, but... So I really enjoyed meeting them. I really enjoyed meeting Primal Packs.
Mm.
And I actually talked to them about working with me on developing an autoimmune protocol-friendly Primal Pack.
Like,
it would be just the jerky, probably, or maybe a jerk.
Maybe some dried fruit or
maybe some dried fruit or something. But actually working on a fully nightshade-free, soy-free, gluten-free, all that stuff, and seed-free jerky. And they were really, really excited to work with me on that. I mean, I have no idea, we haven't actually started working on that. I don't know what the process is. Like, I said process again. It might take 2 years to actually get that a product that's out. But I think it's going to be really cool because there's a real need for convenience foods
that
don't
have
nightshades. So, and I actually talked with Epic about doing some other flavors because right now the Bison Epic bars are autoimmune protocol friendly, but none of the other flavors are. And so I'm actually going to work with them to try and develop some more flavors that can cater to the autoimmune community, which I think is also really exciting because we need those foods that we can stuff in the bottom of our purse just in case or take with us traveling on an airplane. So
definitely.
That was very cool.
So rather than just talking about vendors this whole time,
right.
We thought maybe we'd have fun with our friends, as we mentioned earlier. And speaking of autoimmune, we have Mickey Trescott also with us. Who had to just sit and listen to Sarah and I be completely awkward for the last few minutes.
It's only because you're having a hard time making eye contact.
I can't do it. I can't. I really can't. It's so awkward. I need a Skype screen.
Little known fact about Stacey, she doesn't look people in the eye.
Negotiation tactic. So we have Mickey Trescott here who, if we're going to talk about things you don't actually know about paleo bloggers, one of the things that I learned about this weekend is that Mickey has overcome, like, loads of her autoimmune intolerances by working on healing herself, which is awesome. And I witnessed her eat nightshades and eggs today, which, like, I'm totally jealous of her eating nightshades. And I know Sarah and I are both totally jealous.
I'm trying to ignore it. I'm trying to not let it be information that's actually in my head, because I don't know if I can handle the jealousy.
Yeah. So that's super exciting. Welcome to the podcast, Mickey. For people who don't know you, you are auto-immunepaleo.com, and you have a new smash hit cookbook that just hit the market, based and expanded upon from your original ebook that we talked about and promoted earlier as well. I think it's Autoimmune Cookbook, right? Mm-hmm. So welcome to the Paleo View Awkward Show.
Thanks, guys. We get to make eye contact.
I don't think eye contact with you. She's staring me down.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Staring you down to avoid looking at me. I just don't have to look. We also have Alex Boak with us, who is scapegoated on some of social media, but really, she's a graphic artist and illustrator for a lot of the paleo cookbooks, and runs her own blog with cool graphic art, and it's on my site. You've done 2 or 3 guest posts, I think.
I did a Dirty Dozen, Clean 14.
Yeah, which are way cool, and we need to, like, make people get it. We need to, like, reshare those, because they're super cool.
Yeah, they're fun. I like them.
Yes. The Clean 14 and Dirty Dozen, is that what it was?
Yeah, it was for, like, Organic Week or something. Yeah. So that was fun to do.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, so one of the things that you might not know about Alex is that she's actually a girl, because I thought for a really long time that Alex was a boy's name, and she is from Canada, so...
Yes, that's my deepest, darkest secret.
I really like making fun of her Canadianisms, just like I enjoy making fun of Sarah's.
We both say progress.
Do we?
Don't you say progress?
Progress.
Right. That's how you're supposed to say it. Right.
Right. So this is Team Canada.
Okay. No, I can't get two of you in the same room. I'm going to have to be more careful about this. Wait, again.
I bet you say avocado properly,
avocado.
Too. Right, there you go.
Team up against us.
How do other people say it?
They say, like, I can't even
do it. How do you say avocado?
Avocado. You say it better than she says it.
I say avocado.
Avocado.
Yeah, you say it more American.
Avocado.
It's Torontonian.
No. Toronto.
Yeah, you have less of an accent, Tita. For sure.
Okay, so I don't know if we want to include this, but I will tell a story of one of my many adventures during the last few days. As I went to the bathroom, it was like the first. So it took me 2 hours to try to get to the bathroom to walk about 50 feet. This was on Friday, and it was just literally because I would bump into a person like every 2 feet, and then we'd have to talk. And so I finally got to the bathroom, and I was like so excited to finally be there because I'd had to pee for 2 hours, and. Poor woman was like completely overwhelmed with the fact that I actually
was using a restroom
and she was in the bathroom at the same time as me, and she like was really really excited, and it was really really awkward.
I had a similar experience in the restroom, and they had just started coming back to the house to go to the bathroom. Kind of awkward. I'm like, I go potty too.
That is general like etiquette. You're not supposed to like.
You can still say hi. Like, I'm okay with someone saying hi to me, but it was the little like. It was like overwhelmingly
the starstruck face. Yeah,
I mean, no fangirling in the bathroom.
No fangirling in the bathroom.
It's not
especially if I haven't washed my hands yet.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Let's save the hug for after we wash the hands.
Let me just wash my hands and get the food out of between my teeth.
Yeah. Then we can do
that. And then we can like totally talk.
Stalking Gecko.
What?
Gecko.
Yeah, little known thing you might not know about Matthew is that he chases down lizards like a hunter-gatherer person and just left the house to go catch one.
Is this your show?
Diane
Sanfilippo just walked in the room. And you're now on...
And she's totally mocking our show. She's like, this is what you're doing?
Yours is way more produced than ours usually, so...
It's a gecko show.
Yeah, Matt'll clean it up and make it sound good.
Oh, that's probably my home, too. I just came in to ruin your podcast.
No, I think that Diane Sanfilippo delivering barbecue is not ruining any podcast.
No. Improving, rather.
So, a little known fact about Mickey.
I gotta give a little known fact about myself?
Right.
For sure.
Yeah. You don't know everything about me?
Not yet.
Okay, well, I went to music school. I don't know how I ended up writing cookbooks.
What's
your instrument?
So I don't have an instrument, which is really funny. No, not even that. I went to school for sound engineering and composition, so I tell other people what to do with their instruments.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
And Mickey's actually works as a personal chef / sort of almost nanny.
Yeah, I'm trying not to anymore, but... Yeah, I've worked for a few years in people's households, kind of like batch cooking and kind of doing all the stuff that we tell people to do for people that have lots of resources and no time to have other people do it for them. So it's been really fun.
I need a Mickey.
That kind of stuff.
Well, Matt is my Mickey, I guess.
Yeah, my client right now calls me her lifesaver. Whenever her friends, she's like, "This is Mickey. She's my lifesaver."
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Did we find the gecko?
Did you catch a gecko? I missed him. trying to be quiet, I didn't hear for the podcast. Didn't move.
No, it went to little known fact about Matt chases geckos.
Well, because
it's fun to chase geckos. You
know, the kids love it, and then the tails fall off and they get off.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I grabbed one, and it bit me. Oh. And I screamed, and I was like, ah!
Yeah.
At least not in your carry-on.
But they don't really have teeth. They just have, like, a bone ridge, so it didn't really do any damage.
Oh, interesting.
It just frightened me.
Little known thing about geckos.
They will bite you if you pick them up.
Hi, I'm Russ. I'm back in the podcast. But...
Well, you know what's funny is what we just said yesterday is going to go second.
Okay.
So, everybody, Russ Crandall's here.
But I just kind of wanted to jump into the gecko talk. So, I've been in Hawaii for 7 years, and there's geckos everywhere. And I remember sleeping once, and I sleep without a shirt off. I was laying in bed, and a gecko fell on me from the ceiling. That's the worst experience you can think of, right? And then, so I just felt him jump on me. In the middle, you know, it's dark and all that kind of stuff. Freaked out, get up. I saw the gecko run off. And then I get back into bed, just, you know, adrenaline's pumping and everything. And then I feel something twitching around.
Oh, my gosh, no. His tail.
I was sleeping with the tail.
Oh, God. Oh.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
so good.
Hawaii is a beautiful place.
Say that makes me
XO. Yeah, we talked about crickets. Yeah. So, Diane, any little known facts? We're talking about little known facts of paleo people. What don't people know about you? Other than you're an open book.
I don't know. Is there anything you know about me that you don't think other people know?
I don't know. I've talked about, like, I feel like I found you before a lot of people found you. I went to one of the original Balance Bites seminars, which you used to do by yourself.
I did those for a long time by myself.
Yeah.
I started teaching at the end of 2010. Yeah. So it was a long time ago.
I remember meeting you, and you were wearing a Razorback tank top, and you talked about...
Much like right now.
Right? And you were talking about, like, needing better deodorant. It was funny, because now you've, like, found natural deodorant and stuff.
I don't wear any.
And you made a joke about your trainer telling you that you needed to find, you know, whatever, some...
in your
thing. But I remember being just, like... totally blown away by your lats and your shoulder muscles at the time. Like, you were so into CrossFit.
So
you
what's
were
funny
so
is what I was
going
to say is a little known fact, which people who actually get the Facebook post that I make, like the 10 people that just the post, that I trained on trapeze for a year and a half.
Yeah.
And I was probably doing it at that time.
You had just gotten your muscle up around that time period.
So I had come off of, when I started CrossFitting, is basically when I stopped doing trapeze because... I couldn't focus on trapeze. I actually sort of fell out of I fell out of a trick once, and I was like, okay, I'm obviously not focusing on this. So it became a little bit dangerous. But yeah, I did that for like a year and a half. So I had like a red stripe in my hair. I was like, if you trained at the Circus Center and didn't have a stripe in your hair, you were the weird one. So yeah, that was it.
Trapeze Diane.
I did not know that about Diane. See, there you go. There's a lot of videos. My personal YouTube channel has tons of videos. Because my mom was on the East Coast with my parents, and they wanted to see what I was doing.
That's cool.
Posted videos.
Which That's awesome. Great. I didn't know that.
Yeah, really cool.
There you go. Little known fact. I was
wearing
Diane
wanted
socks.
To be in the circus.
I was wearing striped knee socks way before I did CrossFit. I have lots of them. And leotards. Alright, I think we're
going
to go back to the conference.
Awesome.
I'm going.
Yeah, I think this is going to wrap up this session, and we'll try to Well, we can't pretend that we're going to try to hunt down anybody because Russ already announced that he's in a future one that we actually recorded yesterday that's going to be on the back of the show. So just be mind blown by the time warp that's about to happen.
And we'll be back next week with your regular scheduled programming. All right, Stephanie Rupert. How was it meeting me for the first time ever?
No. Before you talk about that, you need to say that you had a girl crush on her before, and what did you say now that you've met her?
I have a girl stalker. I've become a girl stalker of Stephanie Rupert.
Oh, Stephanie's blushing. And
get
her
in
face.
Line. She's not only super smart about women's health stuff and awesomely logical and level-headed, but she's
contrary to all appearances,
fellow super science nerd.
Super science nerd.
You worked for NASA.
I worked on a project with the Jet Propulsion Lab and the NASA lab. And I was on a NASA space grant. But I did not work for NASA,
and
to be clear.
You also wrote a seminal paper.
I did. It's called... what is it called? It's about the microbial viability of life at deep subsurface pressures and temperatures.
What journal did it go in?
Okay, you're completely off on a tangent.
The Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences.
Out of that BNAS? Oh my goodness! Okay, we're going to put a PubMed link in there.
Yeah, I actually... So, that paper, I think that one might have been withdrawn for more research. And so it's actually... I don't think it's available right now.
That made me just sad.
I know. It's okay. I can give you a copy of my thesis.
I would love that. We can trade. We can trade theses.
Yeah, it was actually, my work was, maybe this isn't a good thing to say in a podcast, but my advisor died in the middle of me doing my work, which was really horrible.
That's really hard.
Well, he wasn't a great experimentalist.
Yeah, but it's still...
It was super hard. It was super hard. But it also meant I was in a very small niche in the science department that I was in. And so it meant that nobody with expertise in my field read my thesis. Actually, nobody read it. I still got the award for the best thesis, though.
That's awesome.
All right, get back on track, please.
There are some things about my life I don't know if they want to know.
Working on the NASA grant is enough, I think.
All right, well, we've got Stephanie now.
Stephanie was a stripper for a week.
Just a week?
Yeah, she tried it.
Was it in Italy?
I'm talking in third person to distance myself. No, so I was a go-go dancer in Taiwan. Close on. But I came back to the States and I was starting grad school, and I thought it would be a good way to make money while I was in grad school. And so I tried it for a week, and I had read about some women who really enjoyed it and thought it was an empowering experience, and I can do that, and I'm okay at dancing and being personable. So I gave it a shot, and it turns out that people they treat you like an object. So it's not it's not a good time.
It's not really empowering.
No. No. I can imagine someday in the future when that would this is a very long discussion. I can imagine someday when that would be cool, but it's not. It's not empowering, and it's kind of a sad place. Some people really enjoy it, but a lot of people have to be there, so it's...
My brother-in-law had a history of dating strippers, so we would meet them at work, and it was always a little bit awkward.
Yeah, I want to move on. What's something else you don't know about me?
You speak Italian.
I speak Italian, I speak French, I speak Chinese. I can read German and Latin.
You're 16 years old and you're a doctor.
I'm a two-time valedictorian.
My favorite thing that most people don't know about Stephanie is that she has a tattoo, but you can hardly see it.
So, Sarah's going to love this.
I met Stephanie for the first time and was like, I can't believe you don't have any tattoos. And she's like, yes, I do.
Oh, I do.
It's so awesome.
It's the Little Dipper in freckles on my collarbone. And it's all about... So I work... my field, technically, is called religion and science. And so it's me sort of integrating the whole gigantic, several billion light years big cosmos into myself and myself into the cosmos. And sort of connecting with the history of myth in our culture. And there's a North Star, which is really symbolic because it's like central and grounding, but it also changes every 14,000 years as the poles wander. So anyway, it's very meaningful.
I'm sorry, I just got even more girl crushy. Okay.
I know. You know what? I'll give you my address so you can send somebody over to my house and take some photos.
All right. Well, Stephanie, thanks for telling us all the stuff that we didn't know about you, but that we actually kind of did. I already know all that stuff about you.
I didn't.
Because I've been a stalker for 3 years, so.
That's funny. Here's a good one. Here's a wonderful one. I grew up, I couldn't pronounce my R's for a very long time. And my brother's name was Clark, so we were Kwok and Stephanie Wupa. And I still can't pronounce a lot of the R words. So, like, I write this word a lot in my writing, but I can't pronounce it. It's the thing that lions do. And, like, if you put that next to the thing that people do when they fight, like, there's no way. Or, like, if you go down a street where a car is only going one direction, like, I have problems with all of those words. A really hard tongue twister for me is, like, going the wrong way on a one-way street. That's as fast as I can say that sentence.
That's a tough sentence to say.
Yeah. I dare you. Maybe not on a podcast. You know, it took a lot of courage for me to do that just now. I'm like, all right, Steph, here we go. Here we go. But, yeah, so now I podcast and stuff. I got over my issue. I can say my R's.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I love you.
I love you, too.
I'm not going to put a break point. I'm just going to, like...
Keep going.
Keep going.
Sure. Just let it roll.
Tony?
How do I follow that up? I speak. I speak one.
How many weeks were?
All right, wait. Let me call you.
Let's set it up. Tee it up for me. I need you to throw me a softball to get my confidence up after that.
All right, Tony Federico.
Yes.
Who are you? First of all, who am I?
Like in a grand cosmic sense?
No,
like,
we've got that already.
Where's my North Star?
Here's something you don't know. He's more charming in person than you can even imagine by listening to his voice.
Oh, that's very sweet. Thank you, Steph.
Well, I'm honest if that's something you didn't know about me, too.
Thank you so much. I don't know. We were talking before, and this may or may not address the question at all. We were talking about off camera, off audio, male culture and how guys are raised. And I mean, I feel like I have been a sensitive male my whole life. And I think that, you know, empathizing and all those virtues are things that we should encourage boys to embrace. And, you know, I think there is a kind of a tough machismo. And, you know, my career now in fitness and in exercise, people assume that I was like an athlete. They assume that I was, you know, in sports or good at sports or whatever the case may be. But I was certainly the dorky kid who would cry if he had to go to football practice and or karate or anything like that.
That needs to be a bumper sticker. For sure. I was the kid that cried at football practice.
I was the kid that cried at football practice.
Look at me now.
And I actually refused to participate in PE for several years. At some point...
I'm surprised I didn't see you on the sidelines.
Well, we were hanging out there together. You're probably better than me.
Were you in the marching band? I was in the marching band.
I was for 1 year.
I was too.
I played the flute.
I wasn't even cool enough for the marching band.
I played the baritone because my lips were too big to play the trumpet. We're just airing all our dirty our repressed childhood memories are coming up to the surface. This is like a therapy session. How did that happen? Where's the tissues?
We've got paper towels.
Okay.
I don't know. When Tony started talking about empathy, I almost started to cry.
That's very empathetic. But,
yeah, so I think that, you know, being in a fitness career and
tears.
You know, you people don't realize that maybe you're in, you know, seems like you got it together, seems like you're in shape, seems like you have this handle on diet, nutrition, exercise, and everything like that, because you've always had it together, and I certainly did not. And it took finally accepting myself and taking responsibility for myself to get to where I am today. So it has not been an easy road, despite what it might seem like at this point. So that's my piece. I didn't work for NASA.
I'll put you on my list of married men crushes.
I'll answer the original question, which was, Tony Federico runs the PMR.
Oh, man, I totally biffed.
With
Right. Paleo Magazine Radio, right?
Right, right.
And I've been on your podcast, or have you been on his podcast? So we can link in the show notes to evidently Stephanie's.
Stephanie's going to be on the podcast.
Yeah, Stephanie has not yet been on the podcast.
But now we all have links, girl crushes.
We can put links into the show notes.
It's not a really girl crush of your boy, right?
For Sarah and I.
Photos.
This is you people listening are probably cracking up at
what
how awful
is going
this
on?
Is. I think
what?
This is the best podcast I've ever done. So we also have Russ Crandall here. He's
get
hiding
in, here,
in the
Russ.
Back. You'd be shocked to know that Russ doesn't love people and
Hello.
Talking all the time.
I'm social when I need to be.
Russ of thedomesticman.com, the recently released Ancestral Table. What don't people know about you?
So many cool
things.
It's hard
to say, you know? So I think people know nowadays that I'm in the Navy, you know? But they may not know what I do. I say that I'm a Russian translator. But what I actually do is I teach Russian to a group of students, and it changes students every month. So I teach, like, one-month courses to a group of 8 to 12 students every month. Day in, day out. It's pretty awesome.
So people might not know this. An interesting story. When Sarah and I and Russ had our book signing, and well, Matt was there too, at the Alexandria
Books-A-Million.
Yeah. There was a Russian couple that came up and started talking to Russ in Russian.
Yeah.
That was pretty epic.
That was pretty awesome. So, it's not often that I mix those two worlds. Like
yeah.
That. So that was pretty cool.
Those were also the people that I told that aspics were healthy, and they were like in heaven. It's like, it's my favorite food. I didn't think it was healthy. I was like, yeah, you should be, like, that's a great choice.
Yeah, they call it holodets in Russian, and it's, from being cold, because they eat it cold, and they, you know, they slice it, and, yeah, it's really good.
All right, speak some Russian. I want to hear more Russian.
Привет. Как дела? That's just, hi, how are you? I don't know what else to say. There's a really long word in Russian called, it's достопримечательности, and that means sights, like you go to see the sights. That's the word for sights, but it's super long in Russian for some reason.
That's awesome.
I've always thought that's the most beautiful language. You might not know that Russ also speaks
Indonesian. Yeah, I was actually taken hostage by the Indonesian army once in a skirmish.
He's not joking.
Yeah, that was intense. Yeah, it was. I was part of a landing
skirmish.
Party that we'd found this group of Indonesian nationals that were trying to flee the country to go to Australia, and their boat broke in the middle of it. So I was on a ship, a Navy ship at the time. They flew me out to this little boat, and there was 27 people starving on the boat, and no one could understand each other, so they flew me out there, and I was able to translate and get them bread and water and all that kind of stuff, and then we pulled it into the nearest island in the middle of nowhere, this little tiny island called Sanana, which is just in the middle of nowhere. Anyway, so we get over there, and there's, like, nobody has shoes, you know, goats are everywhere and stuff like that, and the Indonesian army rolled up, and they were just pissed at us that we came to their island without visas and all that other stuff, so they took us into their headquarters, which, I mean, it's like a building with no windows, you know, it's just kind of really sketchy or whatever, but I was the only guy without a gun, both sides had guns, and there's just me with my dictionary. But anyway, and so we got out of there, but it was really hairy. A little bit interrogating, they didn't like hurt us or anything, but they were just really mad at us. Yeah.
Wow.
That was like 11 years ago. That was a long time ago. Yeah. It was pretty cool. It was a little Navy celebrity for a while.
And that's what contributed to your success. You're not just in the Navy, you're like.
Yeah.
The Navy. I'm the domestic man, also the United States Navy.
Yeah, I'm okay in the Navy. I'm one of the 5 most senior Russian linguists in the country, so, in the Navy at least. So it's pretty cool. Yeah,
that's really cool.
Kind of a big deal.
Okay, Russ also has a really great story. This one I heard for the first time this weekend. You have a really great joke.
Which one?
About Siri when you were cooking. It's my new favorite Russ.
Sorry. I guess I don't find that one as funny. So I was cooking the other day. I had both hands tied, obviously, and my son is 5 years old. He was, like, trying to help me out, and I said, you know, Oliver, grab the phone out of my pocket, hold on to the button for a bit, and then when Siri comes up, just say, set the timer for 15 minutes. But instead it called my friend Tyler, who I hadn't spoken to in, like, 6 years, and I was, like, super awkward because I was on my speakerphone with him, and I'm like, hey, man, what's up? I'm like, it's actually not a good time to talk right now, but it was really good hearing from you. I'll call you later. I never called him back.
That's the funniest part of the story.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So that's a little bit about me. I guess I have little funny adventures I don't even think about. So
Russ also has...
Not just the domestic man, the humble man.
Yeah, I guess maybe. Or forgetful man. I just forget what I do.
Fortunately, I got a bunch of it earlier today, so I can talk up Russ for him. You also have a master's degree in hospital
healthcare administration.
Healthcare administration.
Yeah, so that's a really tough program in the Navy. They have that. And so I went and I got my master's on my own, and then I applied to this program in the Navy. They only select 10 to 15 people a year. I got selected for it. I was also the senior most guy selected for it. But then they pulled away my selection because of my health history. They saw that I had had a stroke, and they saw that I have an autoimmune disease, and so they pulled me out of the program. So I spent a year fighting it and went all the way up to some really high-level people fighting for me. The head of the guys who makes the selection and everything was trying to fight for me, but the rules got the better of me, unfortunately. So.
But now he's going to do it in the private sector and save all the hospitals in America from bad food.
Right. I was really trying to fix the Navy's nutrition first, but I'm going to have to do it on the outside first, I guess.
Russ also doesn't like onions.
I hate onions, yeah.
What?
Some people may not know that.
Even cooked ones?
Not just onions. Yeah. Russ has an aversion to, like, a bazillion
onions,
foods.
Green onions, leeks. I'm not a fan of mustard. I don't like bell peppers. What? There's a lot of food.
Even red ones?
Bananas, right? There's no random fruit you don't like.
I don't like avocado.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Is it the texture?
Yeah. So a lot of these are all texture.
It's a weirdo, right? So how can you be a foodie and not like those foods?
Here goes my crush.
Yeah. So that's why I'm way into sauces and mixes and stuff like that, because I like to puree things because I don't want to taste the texture. So you see them in my book and on my blog and stuff, I puree the onion before.
Oh, so the book is for other weird people.
Yeah.
So, all right. One time I had Russ over... Where we were at your house, and we had been testing the chicken liver mousse recipe, and we had like six mason jars full of chicken liver mousse because we had been trying to test it. And he was like, "What's in it?" And it totally didn't occur to me that there's onions in it. And I was like, you know, because for me, I'm like, there's chicken livers, there's cream,
plus there's spices. Onions in everything. You don't even think to mention
it's just
it.
Like background,
right, right.
Basic. Yeah.
So Russ is like, "All right." So he like digs in and takes a big bite. He almost like vomits. he's like, "There's so much onion in here." And I'm like, "What?"
Right. And it's like your bacon jam. Yeah. And so she had that over at her house, and like, oh, everyone's eating this bacon jam. I'm like, "Oh, cool. What's in it?" It's like bacon and jam, right? No, it's just onions with a little bit of bacon in there. And I was like, still like getting to know each other, so I just had to like swallow it. It was a really good bacon jam. Yeah. That was bad.
Yeah, when we go out to restaurants, like yesterday, we're standing in line at Holy Cow, and Russ is in front of me and I'm behind him, and he says to the cashier guy, like, no onions on the burger, and I say to the cashier, extra onions. And poor Russ, like, the guy didn't know I was kidding, and so Russ actually got extra onions on the burger. He gave me the death stare.
Oh, they're chopped onion, like diced.
Did them. You still eat it?
I just scraped them all
off. But you had the onion flavor.
It was an oniony burger.
Oh my god. Sometimes life is so hard.
Russ's first handle was onions are gross.
Yeah.
I remember that. I was like, I'm not following that.
I was actually the one that talked him into changing it, because he actually had multiple names on different social media. And I'm like, dude, if you want people to know who you are, you gotta have a consistent name. Like, they don't know who you are. You know right. who you are. And he's like, but I've had Twitter for like 18 years, you know, because he's like 76 in real life.
Right, exactly.
And I was like, he's like, okay, I'll change all of them except Twitter. And he kept Twitter as onions are gross for a few weeks more, and then he eventually changed it.
Yeah.
Well, wow, I remember that.
Yeah. He wasn't facetious. He was really serious. He thinks onions are gross.
Well, at least it was distinctive.
Yeah, it's just not my name anymore, but yeah.
All right, I know a lot of cool things about you. I think that's probably the most important, though.
Yeah.
All right, what don't people know about me?
Well,
I change my shoes in the middle of arenas all the time.
Yeah, you're pretty good at being out there.
What people don't know is that they know everything.
I don't know enough about Stacey. I haven't been stalking her long enough.
What your like day job is. I know that you work, and I've heard
I kind of skirt that issue on purpose.
She's kind of a big deal.
No, I'm not.
Oh my goodness. Lies. Now you know she's a liar.
I'm a professional.
Yeah.
In the government federal consulting industry. So in the D.C. metro area, almost everybody thinks of the government as like the government.
Nope.
But the government is
one entity.
Yeah, but the government is actually mostly contracted individuals.
Consulting. Yeah,
they're private sector individuals who are contracted to work for the government. So I work for a company that does that. And I just try to really leave my professional life to professional life.
That's the big black
That's
box.
The big secret.
Yeah, and a lot of people have asked me, if, you know, like, when am I going to quit my job and whatever, and I'm not. Like, I really like my job. I like having a professional career. I like living in suburbia. Like, that's... Matt and I had a choice a couple of years ago. We thought about maybe doing seminars and, like, targeting CrossFit kid-type boxes and, you know, getting families on board. And we had the opportunity to kind of... We have a good amount of equity in our home, and we could have sold our home and moved to a little commune somewhere and, you know, made a career out of paleo. And we just decided that it wasn't what we wanted to do, that we really wanted to have a house in suburbia. We wanted our kids to be... raised the way we were raised, and we wanted me to have a regular day job career. I like the things that a lot of paleo people don't like. I like having health insurance. I like having dental. I like having life insurance. I like the comfort and security for my three kids to have that kind of life and career, and I'm totally okay with it. So rather than like muddy the water and talk about it all the time and My day job is also really cool. They know what I do, and they're really supportive. When I'm there, I'm theirs, and you know, I'm committed to working on what I don't talk about, which is awkward. So best just not to talk about it. Does that not answer your question
it
sufficiently?
It certainly does not answer my question. you not answered that question.
I also have said a couple of times previously, I actually do negotiations for a living. So I'm really good at finagling my way out of things.
Oh, no, I never would have thought that.
Yeah, here's something about Stacey. Rules are just like a suggestion. Doesn't matter what environment you're in. You could be, you know, a parking garage, or you could be wherever. Stacey will figure out how to bend the rules. So.
And Matt is such a, like, follow the rules kind of guy. It frustrates him to no end. I'm like, it's totally fine. It's
so
fine.
What's an egregious example of...
Like the parking lot example that Russ was clearly thinking of.
Yeah.
What did I do?
So I'm just trying to think, you know, like in when we were in Philadelphia finding parking and stuff. I'm by the rules too, you know. I'm in the military. It's all rules, you know. And she's just like, oh, just find somewhere to park. And I'm like, no, we're going to go to a garage. I can't deal with this. So I'm just going to pay some money, you know. And, yeah, that sticks in my head. Off.
Yeah, I believe the words "just park there" were said at least a few times.
What are you? You clearly have something to say.
Matt's here too.
Stacey is secretly a math genius.
Oh,
so when
I did not know that.
Well, Stacey and I grew up in the same state, and you know they have standardized tests for, you know, the state math standards or whatever, and. So
we're in the same grade too,
and we're the exact same age, same grade, everything. So apparently, like as we're going along, Stacey is taking the same test that I am, and I was kind of bragging the other day because I always considered myself to be a very smart math and science person, and I was like, I really did well on all these tests growing up, you know, 90th percentile, 99th percentile, whatever. And Stacey says to me...
Casually.
You know, there was this one test that we took in the sixth grade, and I got the second highest score in the state. I know for a fact that I didn't get the highest score in the state. So this thing that I thought was, like, my thing that I had that, like, was the thing that I was better than Stacey at. It was math and science. Stacey's better at it.
The last vestige.
Matt also, when we were first dating, thought that he could outwit me by playing Monopoly. We really like to play board games. And we were vacationing at his grandparents' house, and he pulled out the Monopoly board.
We've only
excited.
Been dating for 6 months at this point.
So he pulls out the Monopoly board, and he has this look in his eyes like, oh, I'm going to I'm gonna take you down, you know? And he's like, he's so puffing his chest up, like, oh yeah, you beat me in Scrabble, and you beat me in this, and you beat me in that, but I'm gonna get you a Monopoly.
That was gonna be the one.
20 minutes into the game, he's like, I will never play Monopoly with you again.
I'll never play a board game.
I'm really ruthless. I'm super competitive.
Stacey doesn't.
That's not a surprise.
No, it's not a secret.
Stacey doesn't think of games as a fun thing that you do casually. No. That's not for her. The other thing that that I think is interesting about you is actually just left my mind.
That was smart.
In addition to the math genius thing, you were also really surprised to find out that I'd gotten into a magnet school and chosen not to go because I was too concerned with being a geek.
Yeah.
So, like, I've actually hidden my whole life how smart I am and, like, kind of brushed it under the rug, and I got into the magnet school program, and then I went and I saw all the kids in the class, and I told my mom.
She didn't want to hang out with us.
I was like, no, I don't want to go to that school. Like, no. I'm too busy.
And now we do a podcast together.
Yeah.
You're with it all the time.
That's so funny. I spent my whole life trying to thinking that I was nothing if I weren't that smart kid.
Yeah, it's interesting. Everybody's perspective is a little different.
Yeah.
So, Stacey, Stacey always says that she never thought of herself as being smart, despite all these, like, clues. Right?
Second highest test score in the state.
Stacey assumed that they were just joking or something, and, like, that she wasn't smart until...
That's not a joke.
Until I met her when she was 20 years old. And, you know... At the time, she was the first person in her family, as far as she can remember, that was getting a college degree. Yep. So, like, you know, all these clues along the way, Stacey never thought, hey, all these people who are telling me I'm smart are right.
I took some IQ test. Like, it was a college assignment, like, to take an IQ test. And there were a couple of tests that they wanted to do, to take Myers-Briggs, all those kinds of things, you know. And I scored at a level that was kind of alarming. I called my mom and I was like, I don't think this test is right. Like, genuinely, that's how I thought of myself. I had such low self-esteem. And I'm like,
this must be wrong.
Yeah, like, no, I think the test is wrong. I did something wrong. I obviously cheated. I don't know what I did. And I talked to Matt about it. And Matt was like, hey, you need to stop, like, dogging yourself. This is, like, a legit test that you took. Well, what I ended up doing is having Matt take the test, and I was like, see if I can rig, if it's possible, because I know how to rig the system. I know how to cheat the rules, as Russ said. I know. I play in the gray. That's my job. I'm really good at it. And I was like, see if it's possible for me to have hacked this test in some sort of way to have, like, made myself pass at a higher level. And Matt took the test and was like, no, this is the thing. Like, you got that level because that's how smart you are. I was like, that can't be true.
That's a powerful example, though, of how your self-concept really can, you know, make your reality regardless of anything else.
Yeah, like, if you don't believe it, then
exactly
nobody else will. Yeah, totally.
Mm. Good note to end on.
My turn? I don't know what people don't know about me. Only the stuff that I purposely don't tell them.
What's in your...
What are
the,
what about those?
Do you have any tattoos?
I do not.
That doesn't surprise me.
Do you plan on getting any tattoos?
No, and this is why I'm kind of flaky. And I change what I like. So I used to dye my hair, and it would literally be like every time I would go, it would be like a really dramatically different color. And I tend to, like, grow my hair down to my waist, and then I'll go, like, super, super short, and then I'll do everything in between. When it gets really long, before I know I'm going to cut it short, I'll get really, really crazy with the color. And then when it gets, you know, when it's short, I like to change how I look. I will periodically just completely change the style of clothes I wear. And the thing with the tattoo is once you have it, you can change it, but not really.
It never really looks right.
Right. And you kind of only change it by making it bigger.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of felt like I'm not going to be a person who's going to like whatever I like now, 10 years from now. That being said, I've always kind of liked the idea of having a tattoo of roadkill on the bottom of my foot.
I did not know that.
Nor
would I have guessed.
That was a new piece of information.
Or an octopus,
like any particular
with its
animal?
Tentacles wrapping around.
Mm, see, that's cool.
And with, like, big bulging eyes looking like it's holding on for dear life every time you take a step.
So Sarah,
what does this, what does this mean on like a psychological level?
I don't know.
You wanna, like,
so she likes to step
on small animals.
I just have a quick question. This being a person who has some tattoos, do you have any idea how terribly painful that will be on the body?
Yes, I have heard the bottom of the foot is one of the most painful, and that may be part of why I've never done it, because that's where I would want it. I don't know why, but I like the idea of bottom of the foot. So I've always said if I ever like broke my leg and had to have it like in traction, and it was already painful, I was already on good.
Why not make it work? Oh, there you go.
Then that would be a good time to get a tattoo. But I'm.
That's really bad.
I'm just not. I'm too. Yeah, I change my mind too often. I can't commit to a tattoo.
Stop talking about that like it's a bad thing that you change your mind.
Okay.
It's great.
Yeah.
I think it's wonderful.
I've reinvented myself a lot of times. Like I'm.
That is apparent. I think we know that, but the degree is pretty spectacular.
Right. So I wanted to be a research scientist when I was 7. Because my grandfather was a biochemist. He was actually one of the most senior scientists in Canada, and he actually was one of the people hired to establish medical schools, and he did it at 2 different universities in Canada. And he used to teach biochemistry to the medical students. And so I wanted, you know, to be like my grandfather's. Like, some of my earliest memories are playing with his mice in his lab. And they had, like, these big, disgusting tumors, and I guess I was okay with that. It makes sense. Just roll with it.
Roadkill on your feet, organ meat, playing with mice with cancer. It's all...
Yeah.
It's a normal kid stuff.
And so then I got really interested in nuclear physics in high school, and then I decided I kind of wanted to do, like... you know, radiation treatment planning and things like that, like cancer therapy. That's like a really cool job. And then I got to university and I was going to do a biochemistry degree because that was kind of how I was going to get into more like the medical. And then I basically had a really boring chemistry instructor and a really cool physics instructor. I mean, it was really that simple. Like, my physics instructor was really dynamic. My chemistry instructor, his name was Professor Dingle.
No.
And he was the most monotone ever. It was just, it was a good thing it was an easy course. So I ended up deciding to do a physics degree. So my bachelor's degree is in physics. I graduated first class with distinction with an honors degree. And I did a 5-year program. So it was called a co-op program. So every alternate term, like we never had a break. We never had summers off. But every alternate term, we would do work experience. We'd actually get paid for it. And so I did a variety of different things. But one of the things I was really into was high-energy particle physics.
That's
and I actually
fun.
Did 2 work terms working for the Deutsches Elektron and Synchrotron Laboratory, one of which was actually in Hamburg in Germany.
My lifelong dream is to atom smash.
I got to. So every summer, they actually
great
shut...
band name, by the way.
They actually shut... down Daisy, and you get to walk around the circle, and I did that. It was so cool. Mm-hmm. And then I decided in my senior year that I actually wanted to do something practical that would be socially relevant, and I decided that was actually something really important to me. So I ended up doing my honors thesis in a cancer research center in radiation physics, studying how radiation physicists look at decide where what's going to get radiated, what tissue's going to be radiated, and where what they call the margins, but basically where they're tracing the outline around a tumor. And
how
I
do
actually,
they image that? Is it like computers doing like a 3D model?
Yeah,
or?
So typically it's done with a CT scan, and then they literally go in by hand and they look at the tissue comes up sort of different colors, and they actually look at the line and they'll draw in 3D, like one piece at a time, sort of a CT scan does a slice that goes like this. So they draw around the tumor, and then they come up with this 3D plan, and then they actually program that into the machinery that radiates. And the thing with, we were actually looking at prostate cancer, and the thing with the prostate is it's a very mobile organ. It's quite like loosely attached to everything around it, so it moves around, and it's really, really close to really, really sensitive organs.
Yeah.
So
yes, it is
radiating.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Woo.
All right, so
why did you fist bump him? I should be.
But radiating the bowel and the bladder can be really, really dangerous. Right. And this is the big problem with treating prostate cancer. It's a really responsive cancer, typically, to radiation. But the problem happens when you accidentally give too much radiation to the bladder or the bowel, and that's what causes the complications. And so what we were looking at was, you know, you want to get this sort of 100% to the tumor because you want to get all of it. You don't want to get around it. And what we were looking at is how movement, like the every time the patient laid down, you know, their prostate's in a slightly different position. So what we're looking at is how that slightly different position from, these are treatments that are broken up, you know, once or twice a week for many weeks. You know, if they're getting 10 or 12 or 15 different, you know, radiation doses, how that movement would actually affect the dose to the overall tissue. And one of the things we found was actually that they were at greater risk of not getting enough radiation to the tumor than they were at actually getting critical, like a damaging amount of radiation to the bladder and the bowel. And that paper actually influenced a shift in the entire field of radiation treatment planning, where they're now have increased the size of the margins that they're drawing for treating, you know, prostate cancer.
Which could have very well saved many people's lives. And
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah,
it definitely does, like all the time.
Wow.
So, Sarah, what did you call that paper earlier when you were talking about it?
Seminal.
Yeah, so you have wrote a seminal paper about the prostate?
You're not going to believe this, but you know who else wrote a seminal paper? Stephanie Ruper.
I participated in some research that is a part of a seminal paper in a field. We talked about that already, didn't we?
Yeah. I think we did. We covered it.
Life on planets. That's
we're
what
getting
I do.
Repetitive and relate to a party. So let's get out of here and find more people to embarrass later. All right. Talk to you later, everyone.
Thank you for listening to The Paleo View. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes. You can also support us by shopping for our favorite paleo products on the sidebars of our individual websites or by donating through PayPal.